so still. Oh, I'll build a new kingdom in that house on the hill. You love me, and that you always will. Oh, you beg me to keep you in that house on the hill, looking out for love, big, big
Jick, and it's Thursday night, and I am all alone these days in the big city. So what we've done is the same thing we did last time. We recorded. We actually did a better job, given a little more. I'm not going to say more notice, because it's not like we didn't know about this last time. It's just that we didn't exactly get our shit together in time. So got a couple segments, a long one in which we talk about a specific subject. Actually, we dick around just kind of talking about nothing for 15 minutes and then start talking about a subject. I don't remember if we reached any conclusions or not, so I'm gonna let it be a surprise to me as much as it's a surprise to all y'all. And then we'll take a music break, and then I will... oh, wait, there's that buzz. Haha, now there's no buzz. Sorry about that. Take a music break, and then got another segment in which we answer some questions, and then I'm going to leave some time after that answer some questions on the live side. So, without further ado, allow me to present Jick, Hot Stuff, and Riff. Oh, man, you'd think that I would have queued that up, but I didn't. There it is. All right, see you in about an hour, kids. Thank you, Jick, for that lovely introduction. Hey, everybody, it's Thursday night, and we're on this here radio thing again. We're turning into podcasters, man. We're not radio. We're not doing a radio show anymore. We're doing a goddamn podcast.
You could layer your own commentary into the recording.
Ah, that would be awesome.
You could think of funnier jokes.
Yeah,
just leave a space for when we think of something funny later.
No, insert something funny here.
Wow, Riff totally sounds gay. See, now they won't know. They won't know if I said that during the recording or if I popped in and said it. I think if I popped in and said something like this during the recording or during the actual broadcast, I think everybody else would get really quiet when I activated the mic. So, hey, what have you guys been up to since last Thursday?
Been rock climbing 3 times.
I think you're addicted to exercise.
No, I really enjoy rock climbing, and I was stuck. I was not getting any better rock climbing without getting some exercise. I went to the gym today and had a session with a, holy crap, with a personal trainer.
Yeah.
Which was actually really good, because it was, like, one of the key areas for climbing is, like, core strength. I don't know
what does that mean?
Yeah, so, like, what is core strength? I have, like, I've heard this phrase, I don't know what it means. This is just for the viewers at home, or the listeners at home. Jick is moving his laptop around, and it's making me seasick, because we're on, like, doing the video chat thing again. Ugh. But core strength is basically all of the muscles in your trunk, you know, like, it's your back and your abdomen and
your junk muscle,
hip flexors and your junk muscle. And basically it's where all your power comes from for like, you know, like real power exercises and
for like Super Saiyan attacks.
Yeah. And it's also where your balance, like your primary balance center is. And that's why it's super important for rock climbing, is because a lot of routes require a lot of very particular balance.
So how is core strength distinct from upper body strength?
From upper body?
Yeah. Is upper because body upper, just your arms?
Arms and, like, your pecs, maybe. And maybe your shoulders, like delts or whatever. But, yeah, this is like, all the stuff, you know, on the sides of your abdomen and your abdominal muscles and your back muscles. And
see, you use words like delts and pecs, and and to you they mean something. I use them as a punchline.
Yeah.
Yeah. So apart from that, have you done anything interesting since last Thursday, or just exercise?
My friends from San Francisco came into town, and yeah.
Were they gay?
No, it's a married couple, actually.
Are they gay married?
They're not gay married. They drove here in a smart car, which is very small.
Sounds pretty gay. Cute.
And
does it have a rainbow bumper sticker that said "I love balls in my face"?
No. And one of them is a guy who's went to college with, and I knew he was. We're both from Colorado, actually. I knew him from before we went to college.
Was he in your fraternity?
He was.
What was his stupid nickname?
He doesn't go by it, but it's Wanka.
I can't imagine why somebody wouldn't want to go by that name.
Yeah. Anyway, so he's actually, he had started a couple companies and made some money, and now he is doing his own game development studio. And he's putting out a couple games on the iPhone. Taxi Ball is the one that's probably most likely to come out soon. The company that he started, that he and my friend Seppo are starting, is called Self-Aware Games. And we talked a lot about like potential like iPhone projects and stuff like that, and just a bunch of neat ideas. I think it's going to be an interesting gaming platform, I think.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see, once I actually see the games that they've made, like a kind of honest assessment of how long it took to make them would be an interesting thing to know about in terms of like potentially working with them as developers in the future.
I mean, the game that was more exciting to me of the two that he had sort of in a prototyping kind of phase was this game called Aura, which is, it's like a puzzle game that's based off of layering like beat tracks down. So you basically have this like little generator. It's like a grid of squares. You have a little generator, and it like sends out a pulse. And then you have things which redirect or split the pulse or bounce it back or speed it up or slow it down. And then these little pads where when the pulse goes over a pad, it makes a sound. And it's basically each of those little pads is a little sample.
Is the pulse directional? Is it coming out like one direction?
The pulse comes out of the generator in one direction. It's like it's like a dot that moves.
So it's like a music sequencer.
It's like a music sequencer, right? But it's this game thing. So you're like, basically what you do is up top they have like the like four measures, and they have like a sample pattern that you're supposed to match. Like they have a little visual indicator, and so there's a way to configure the stuff on the board such that it matches that, and so that it makes this sort of like, you know, like do 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 or whatever, right? Like that's the four measures, right? So then you solve it. You solve that level, and you go to the next level, and the track that you laid down on the level before is still playing. So you're layering more and more sort of depth to the beat tracks, which is just, it just begins to sound really, really cool as you level through the progression or whatever. And by the end, you have a cool song. It's just awesome. It's like,
that's groovy.
Yeah, no, it's a really neat idea, and I think it'll be really good once it's done. They have to do some more, like, they have to do like an art revision, but the idea is solid. And all they have to do is,
I think it would definitely need some kind of sandbox mode, or some sort of like randomly generated challenge thing, because I feel like it's once you've played it, you've played it, basically. Like,
well, but yeah, and I mean, right, even right now you can make your own levels. Like every game that they're putting out, they have built-in level editors in the games, so you can create or edit levels on the iPhone. Both in Tactical and in Aura. Yeah, it's really neat. Like, I'm excited for them, and hopefully, if we play our cards right or whatever, we'll be able to collaborate with them and make cooler games, like some sort of really awesome RPG or something.
If we play our cards right. Ooh, we should make a card-based RPG. So if we play our cards right, we'll be able to allow our player base to play their cards right. So the only thing I've been playing on the iPhone lately, and I've been basically going through one level per day when I poop, is the iPhone port of that Build-A-Lot game.
Build-A-Lot? Mm.
Yeah, it's like this real estate simulator thing where it's just like a kind of a timer-based resource management game. You've got like materials, you've got a certain number of workers, you've got a certain amount of money, and like it starts a level and you own some lots, and there are some houses maybe that you own, and then there are some houses that other people own. And it basically, like, you make money by flipping houses. Like, you can buy one, fix it up, sell it at a profit by dumping some materials into it. You can buy a lot, build a house on it, sell it for a lot of money, use that money to buy the materials to build five more houses or whatever. And there are goals of each level, and it's not hard to beat the levels, but there is like a gold
challenges.
Medal time challenge in every level. Which I'm sort of not playing anything until I get the gold medal in every level, and it's you know, been reasonably entertaining. It's not going to be at all fun once I've played all the levels, I think. But
that's, I feel like that's okay. Like, I am totally fine spending a dollar or two on a game that is just a bunch of levels. I play through it and then I'm done. You know, I feel like that's pretty satisfying.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely you know what games used to be, although not really. You know. You could say the same thing about, like, Pac-Man, right? But, like, Pac-Man is still fun to start over and play.
I guess. I never enjoyed it. But, like, Metroid, I'll totally agree with you. Like, Metroid is a linear game, but I have played through it a dozen times.
Really? The original Metroid?
Yeah.
Huh. I played through it once, and I can't... It's too open-ended for me at this point. I don't have the patience for it.
Open-ended?
Yeah.
Like, having to go through and figure out where all the stuff is.
Just not knowing where to go is...
But I must have a good memory or visual sense or whatever, because, like, I remember watching Riff actually play Fallout 3, and, like, he'd be in a, like, this sort of cave system, and I'd be like, dude, you've already been here. You don't... Turn around. He's like,
yeah, I'd be, like, totally lost, and he'd be like, yep.
Did you explore a lot of caves as a kid?
You know, now that you mention it, no, I didn't.
I mean, I feel like definitely, like, if you and I are wandering around in a town that we're unfamiliar with, I will walk out of a building and just have no fucking direction sense at all. Like, just no, I will have completely lost myself.
Austin, that's how I am. Yeah, in Austin, we did that a lot, where I was like, we need to go this way, and you're like, whatever.
Yeah. I just learned to always mistrust my... And that's the thing, like, I'm always going to tend to want to go the wrong direction, even when I take that tendency into account, so I can't win.
Huh. But now that you have a device with you that tells you where you are and where other things are...
That's handy. Although I went to Central Park again today and fucked around for a while and then came back, and I came out of the subway station and just started going the opposite direction from where my apartment was.
Huh.
And then I pulled it up and I saw... Because part of it is, like, I think at home, the way that I navigate a lot of the time, the way that I figure out what direction I'm going is that I know the order of the streets, basically, right? So, you know, I know if I'm driving and I see McClintock and then I see Rural Road that I'm going west, right? But here, I don't have that.
Yeah. It's so confusing with all the numbers that are linearly increasing or decreasing depending on which direction you're going.
But...
I'm kidding.
Clearly, although that said, you know, there are
I'm pretty sure that around here there are a multitude of ways in which you can be at the corner of like 5th and 5th.
Sure.
Oh, right? Because there are avenues that run east and west in parts of Manhattan. There are avenues that run north and south in parts of Manhattan. The same with
streets.
Yeah.
I thought avenues were pretty much consistently east-west and streets were consistently north-south.
I don't know. Maybe I'm confused.
Or vice versa. I honestly don't remember. But like in Denver, there's definitely numbered streets in both directions, but one is always like in Denver, like which is where I grew up. Avenues are east-west and streets are north-south. Except for fucking downtown, which is rotated 45 degrees from the rest of the grid. Which
awesome.
I don't understand what that's all about.
You know what the problem is? You're actually right. The streets are all east-west and the avenues are all north-south.
It's
but the they start... I live just south of First Street. So, like, if I'm going south... then it's all just name streets. And that's what was going on today. Like, I hit, like, Mercer. I'm like, ah, okay, it was Mercer east or west of Broadway. And, like, I just didn't remember.
And subways are confusing, too, because you'll go into one station, and even if you come out the same station, you might come out a different exit. And so your mental map will be like, okay, I came at it from this one direction, so I'll turn the opposite direction, but that might take you. But...
And a lot of them... A lot of them are... there'll be multiple exits, and so it'll be like an exit to southwest corner or northwest corner, but like even then it's like okay, so I know I'm on the southwest but then I don't want to just like, part of it is me not like, I just have this sort of built-in paranoia from being a kid where when you are in an unfamiliar city, don't ever stand still, right? Like don't like pausing to get your bearings marks you as a target,
right?
Which I think is horseshit. I think it's just the kind of fear culture, but still,
Don't stop, that kid.
I went and found when I was wandering around today. I found this weird like obelisk thing that Egypt presented to the United States like 150 years ago, and it's set up in Central Park. There's translations of it, and it's the same kind of boring stuff over and over again on every side about how this guy was the giver of life and all power comes from him.
He was?
Yeah.
Whoa. Good thing we've got him in dev then.
Yeah, I know. I was like, how do they know about him? 100 years before he was born. That's weird.
Is it one of those like things that was floated down the Nile?
I don't know. I mean, it's a big rock, so I... Not without the aid of some sort of machinery.
I think I'm thinking of the like Trajan's Column or something that's in London. But yeah. I could be wrong.
Cleopatra's Needle or one of those.
Cleopatra's
Needle is the one that's in Central Park.
Oh, is it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the one that I saw today. So whatever is true of Cleopatra's Needle is true of the thing that I saw today.
I think that was the one that was like floated down the Nile and was like this big production to get it down there or whatever.
I've been working on amorous turtle stuff, and so I went to a turtle pond, and there weren't any turtles.
Had sex with some turtles.
Yeah, there weren't. It was a turtle pond, and then in the subway, in a hallway in the subway on the way back, there were these mosaics of a bunch of turtles. I also, you're coming to visit. I think that you should bring Thomas Jefferson with you.
Okay.
So that we can take... There is a subway station in between here and Central Park where the walls, like every few feet, there is a different kind of hat.
Like printed on the wall?
Printed on the wall, yeah. So I just think a bunch of pictures of Thomas Jefferson being held in front of those hats would be pretty funny.
That's going to be... He is so awkward to travel with.
Deflate it, and then we can bring a hat up.
Okay.
You can bring a hand pump, or we can buy a $5 bicycle pump.
Okay.
Needle. Yeah. I thought about this.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, so that'll be a fun little project. It'll be like a garden gnome, except gayer.
Giant floating eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the garden gnome is gayer than the disembodied eyeball, personally.
Well, I meant it was gayer because garden gnome is always like a bunch of girls taking a garden gnome to a bunch of places to take its picture. It's gayer because it'll be me and hot stuff.
Was Was the Garden Gnome thing a thing before it was an Amelie, or was that just...
I believe so, yeah. I believe I had seen a reference to it before Amelie.
Huh. That's where I had first seen it, so that's whenever I hear about that, I think about Amelie.
But I almost want to say that it was in, like, a commercial where...
I think it was even before the commercial. I think it was something that actually happened, where some dude stole a neighbor's lawn gnome and sent postcards and photographs back as the lawn gnome back to the people that they took it from.
That's just weird.
There was a website about it or something.
I see. So I thought of something for us to talk about.
Okay.
On this show. The theme of this discussion, tutorials. What are they? What should they be? What can they be? How do these insights that we're about to come up with apply to KOL?
Okay.
Here's something that I hate when I find that, when I find it in tutorials. I hate tutorials that are really step-by-step and that you find yourself... There is some game that I played. I want to say it was that Runes of Magic, where the tutorial starts out telling you WASD to walk, right? The tutorial will not advance until you have hit each of W, A, S, and D.
Oh, that's yeah, stupid.
That's
all right. So... super hand-holdy stuff like that, you know, you can't...
Well, I mean, that might be different if it was a control screen... if it was a control scheme that was not used by almost every game. Yeah. I mean, everybody knows WASD. That's just the default.
If you're trying to make a tutorial to introduce people to the concept of gaming, I think you're sort of overstepping your... bounds.
Arguably, I mean, World of Warcraft has the tooltip that pops up that says WASD to move, right? Because not everybody is familiar with it, right? And sure. You know, World of Warcraft arguably gets a lot of people who have never played a game. I think that that's something that, you know, we could kind of take into consideration because there are a lot of people playing KOL who only play KOL or who have only played KOL, right?
My mom, you know, I told you about this a long time ago when I was like, okay, mom, check out my game that I work on or whatever, and she like was just kind of mystified because, you know, she not play any games, she doesn't use the internet very much, so she didn't really understand how to click on stuff, and there's just, you know, it was just not obvious to her what to do, and I'm like, you know, there are some people we're just not going to be able to reach. And I think that's okay. You know, we can't design a game such that absolutely anybody could play it. You know, I think maybe now, after a couple of years of her having the internet and like getting used to, she like watches streaming videos and stuff on the internet now.
Crazy.
Yeah. No.
So can you think of any tutorials that you like or any tutorials that you don't like in games that you've played?
Well, so somebody was saying that they hated the tutorials in World of Warcraft, and I was like, I don't understand what you're saying, because I don't think that of World of Warcraft as having tutorials.
It just has some very simple quests at the beginning and tooltips that pop up as you're doing them.
And I mean, so I really liked that.
It, more than any other MMO that I've played, like it doesn't put you into some instanced newbie area to begin with, right? Like it zooms into a part of the game. You know, and it's they're segregated sort of geographically from the rest of the game, and they're done in such a way that you're in some place that really there are only newbies there, right? There's not really any
usually
sense. Yeah,
but not
except
always,
except, I mean, Easter.
Yeah,
well, newbies and people going back to do quests that they never did before.
Yeah, but I mean, doing all of the quests in those newbie zones takes 30 seconds, you know, like
holidays bring people back to those areas, like sometimes they're like... But yeah, you're right. It could almost be better or worse for a new player to see some of the crazy stuff that all the advanced players do right away. But they see that pretty soon anyway, because they'll go to the main cities. Yeah, you know?
It's kind of a tutorial in that there you just don't have a lot of options left, because a level 1 character doesn't really have any spells. It's got attack and maybe one little bonus bolt or something.
No, everybody starts with two usable skills in addition to.
Yeah, but it's nothing complicated.
Right. And
it advances the intricacy of the game as you go, rather than having a set tutorial.
What about, I haven't actually, I'm not actually speaking from personal experience, what about the beginning of Portal?
I was thinking of that too, because Portal, the first third or half of the game is training for the other
sort
section.
Of. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there is definitely, like, you start out without the gun at all, and you have to learn to move around, and then you get the gun, but you can only
shoot one portal.
Yeah, and I don't actually remember what. I don't remember how that works.
It had the other color already set up.
Yeah. Okay.
Somewhere.
Right.
So, like, the layering of complexity approach, I think, is a really solid one, because it's. Not only is it relatively well received because it's, you know, very popular, like popular games that are well received, like World of Warcraft and Portal, use it, but it doesn't insult anybody's intelligence, and it sort of lets advanced players sort of rip through that stuff quickly, and new players can sort of take their time at figuring it out, you know.
And it's kind of seamless too. It isn't jarring. Oh, I'm done with the tutorial now. Now the real game starts.
Yeah. I think World of Warcraft, though, has a problem in that, like, looking at, like, my wife playing World of Warcraft, right, is most of the way to the level cap, right, but really has no idea how to effectively play her class.
Are you talking, like a paladin?
Yeah, or just in general. Like, I feel like, and I don't know if... To me, I don't consider you to really be able to play World of Warcraft without understanding aggro management, because you can't do any group content without understanding aggro management, and that's something that is...
You can't, and you're just not necessarily going to be very successful.
Well, right, but I mean, that's the thing. It is a concept that if you don't understand it, if you don't know how it works, you're going to hit a wall at which you cannot progress. You're gonna find things that the difference between you being able to kill this guy, the difference between you being able to see how this dungeon plays out, is you understanding that you have to, you know, heal less.
Like, so here's the thing, though. That only applies to group play, right?
Yeah.
And if you are going to be playing in a group, I'm willing to bet that you are willing to spend a little bit of time learning about the game from the outside, like going to websites and like reading about like how to play this class and stuff like that. Like, I feel like you're invested at that point.
Sure.
The only situations are like groups of friends that play together and don't realize what's going on.
See, her deciding, though, that she doesn't want to play the paladin anymore because she can't kill stuff fast enough. That's right. Because the game doesn't really do a good job, I don't think, of defining or making the roles clear, right? Because specced properly, she can just rape the shit out of stuff,
right.
50 monsters at a time on that paladin and level incredibly quickly, right?
Sure. But
the game doesn't... Part of it, I think, you can't in an open world game, and KOL is going to have this problem to a certain extent too, it's very difficult to control the pace at which a player is going to encounter additional layers of complexity.
Right.
Something that I really like that is happening more and more and more in games now is, like Braid did this to some extent, right? There is a level, like, you cannot start playing Braid without figuring out that moving the left stick moves your guy, because you can't leave the title screen without knowing how to run and jump, right? And that's kind of clever, and I'm guessing, I don't remember this 100% for certain, but
it rewards the experimentation without, there's nothing bad that can happen. Wait, no, go ahead, sorry.
There are things in the background when you need to hit a button to jump, there'll be like a sign picture of the button on it, right? And I feel like there are more and more games do that, like Flash platformers and stuff. The first level, you'll have to run through some stuff where it's like, we'll show a little picture of a guy jumping and the space bar, you know, yeah, or whatever, that kind of thing. I'm trying to think what other tutorials I have thought were cool. You know, there are people who... So people have started talking about the whole, like... And I with KOL, I think that this is a little bit of a problem. You don't have any idea what the classes are going to play like when you're creating a character in the first place, right?
But that, I feel like that could be solved... Well, not solved. That could be assuaged by adding another sentence.
Yeah, to... no. And that's definitely... I think that... I started a year ago working on a revamp, a very subtle... small revamp of the character creation screen, and I got frustrated with the JavaScript with what I was trying to do, and so I just need to have C.D. Moyer do it. I need to like sort of draw what I want it to look like and then just have C.D. Moyer do it. But having it so, you know, it's a single screen instead of just seeing all of the classes at once, just you have a thing where you put in your name and then you select a class and it shows you that class and tells you what the class does. So it's got the paragraph that it has now, and then it's got a sentence that says what it's like to play the class. The accordion thief can be difficult to play.
Well, and so, and missed classes can be difficult to play.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I feel like people who are just starting the game, starting as like a disco bandit or a muscle class, makes a lot more sense than the other three classes. But we got to be careful that, like, I feel like sometimes the pictures and that opening text that you see are kind of what draw people into the game. I don't know that you want to necessarily not let people see some of the cool character pictures. Like,
well, I mean, maybe you select a class, but maybe there's a row of the stick figures.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
You click on it.
Click on it to bring up the
to bring up the thing, yeah, and then to also select it. So what some people have talked about is like, oh, you know, what you should do is you should do a thing like Oblivion. There are not a lot of things about Forum Wars that I hate, right? There are things about Forum Wars that I like. There are things about Forum Wars that I think are kind of stupid. And the only thing about Forum Wars that I absolutely hated was the character creation process.
I never got past the character creation process because I thought it was so terrible.
Really? I liked the fact that you got a little bit of gameplay before you actually created your character and had to sign up the account.
Yeah, well, okay. So that I think is what they were going for, right? And at that, they succeeded. But the thing where you fill out the questionnaire and then, oh, the joke is that it always picks the same class for you, that's the wrong context for that joke, right? Because I'm curious if they have any numbers on how many people go through that thing multiple times trying to get a different class out of it, right?
I went through it once and was like, this is dumb, and then just stopped and never went back. Yeah. So
people were saying, oh, you should do a thing like Oblivion or like the Ultima game, where you answer the questions and then it picks a class based on your answers to the question. And Fallout 3 does the same thing to a certain extent, but I really hate that in games. I really hate, like, in an RPG, your choice of class is very important, right? In KOL, it's less so. People want a note that says, don't worry about your choice of class, you'll get the opportunity to change it later. I understand why people need to know that, right? I understand why it would be advantageous for people to know that, but I really think that it would be a mistake to throw the concept of ascension.
Yeah, because if you say to somebody you'll be able to change it later, what that sounds like you're saying is at any point in the time you can go into your account menu and change your class, when it's actually you have to play the entire game before you can do that.
But we could say that, though. I mean, like, because we talk about we set the stage in the character creation process already with about the story of freeing Ralph and stuff like that. So we could say, you know, if you choose a class now, once you've rescued Ralph or whatever, you can have the opportunity to change classes or something.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that thread about the whole tutorial thing was a little... It's a little frustrating because...
Tookie.
I don't know who is worse at deciding what a game's tutorial should be like. Somebody who's played the game for a year, or somebody who made the game, right? I know neither of those people's perception of it is going to be very good, right? But I don't know which one is worse. I don't know whether the average person with 50 ascensions under their belt or us are worse at building a tutorial for this game.
What I feel like is that the tutorial that we have now is the product of listening to dozens, at least dozens, if not like hundreds or more, of reports from people who played and were like, yeah, I didn't understand this. I was confused about this. You know, not knowing that they could get more adventures from eating and drinking was like a huge deal. And like that was just necessary.
Yeah.
You got some very specific reports about like people not understanding what the one meant next to stuff. Like, you know, there were just a bunch of things that we were addressing when we revamped it to make things more clear.
The one thing that I think is honestly wastes a lot of time in the current tutorial. So when the original toot went in,
yeah,
there were like five things in the game, right? There were like five things in the game, and one of them was the hermit, and one of them was the sewer. I don't think that either of those things is important enough at this point to be a part of the tutorial.
I see what you're saying.
Right, and the thing is, they are the most common... Getting the rims from the hermit is the most common place that people get stuck. I don't actually remember, does the knoll come after or before the battle?
After.
Okay, so... Not being able to beat the boss bat is the first place that people get stuck. But even people who understand the sort of basic conceit of role-playing games, like, I need to level up if there's a monster that I can't beat. Right? I feel like the people who can't figure out how to beat the boss bat are people who, need more hand-holding than we're ever going to be willing to give anyone. Right? So they need to talk to somebody. And how do I beat the boss bat? You need to be stronger. Just keep playing. Go somewhere else and level up. Here's where I would recommend going. And in fact, if you go there and you get some firecrackers, I will buy them from you. You know, like, I feel like that's the kind of thing that should happen in a situation like that. You know, the hermit is important exactly once in the game, right?
Several times, right?
You need the clover for the epic weapon.
Right. Yeah. You need another item from the hermit for the epic weapon. But
You need clovers in general if you wanted to get clover adventures.
Right, but that's not a core thing about the game. That's a little bonus thing. It used to be a really core thing about the game, right?
I mean, people who are advanced players get clovers to get clover adventures.
I understand that, but people who are advanced players have needs and desires about the game that new players don't necessarily have. I'm not saying that the hermit isn't important. I'm just wondering. Right. I'm wondering aloud, and just for the sake of discussion, whether or not, like, a lot of the tutorial is centered around, all right, so part of it, you know, it's valuable saying, all right, hey, you might have noticed that when you were killing these rabbits, they were dropping meat. Right?
Right.
Meat is what we buy things with. Hey, go buy me something from the store. That,
right.
Totally reasonable. It takes you into town with a specific goal. You have to navigate town to some extent to get in there. But then the whole sewer thing, that's just not... Like, when the tutorial initially went in, like I said, those were among the only places to get items that weren't the handful of adventure zones that existed.
They're the most complicated ways to get items, though. Everything else, you just kind of adventure and get.
On the one hand, we don't really need the tutorial to send you to the hermit anymore, because part of the reason why that was there was because you needed the hermit permit in order to see that he existed. And now that you can just see him all the time, you're going to wander over there and find him just naturally.
Right.
But on the other hand, there's really no indication anywhere else. There's nothing else in the game that teaches you where to get a worthless item, which is the only currency he accepts.
Yeah.
Right.
That's like, because if you want to complete a particular quest, like unless we want to revamp the guild quest that effectively sends you to the hermit and explain it there,
which I think that's okay.
Honestly. Yeah, that I mean, we can do that, and then sure, then we can excise it from the tutorial, and then it'll make the tutorial shorter and stuff. You have cut out completely. I don't know if you can hear us.
Other stuff that you might like.
I think your cord on your microphone is crap or something, because that you just cut out for 10, 15 seconds and...
Whoa, really?
No sound. Yeah.
Huh.
Something happened. You've been popping in and out a little bit here and there. I don't know if it's going to be...
Boy, that sucks. This is the last mic I have.
Oh, right, because you messed the other one up for the other option.
Hey, that's another thing you can bring with you when you come.
Is another mic?
Yeah.
Just tell me where to get it. Make a list of stuff.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. It's a good idea. I'll put that on my list of things to write down.
Cool.
I need to do a system message.
ANUS?
Yeah.
You need a system message?
ANUS. I need to do a system message. So now everybody gets to listen to me typing for a minute.
That's cool.
Continue talking about tutorials while I do this.
I'm trying to think of other tutorials that I have either liked or disliked or really cared about. And I'm having a hard time thinking of them. They're kind of...
Yeah.
They don't stick in my mind very... readily.
I mean, you get...
Star Control 2.
I do not remember.
I don't remember
the
it.
Tutorial. There.
There really isn't one. It's just that the gameplay starts out very simply. You can't do anything. You can't buy enough fuel to go anywhere other than Sol until you go to Mercury and pick up some radioactives for him. So...
Right.
You have to
learn how to
basically figure out how to navigate inside a system and harvest minerals before you can even start playing.
I mean, the layering of complexity is just kind of awesome. There've been a bunch of Flash games that sort of point stuff out. I played the Scary Girl game for a little bit yesterday.
Yeah.
And was really kind of frustrated because there's like a tutorial that explains stuff, and then like they tell you certain keyboard shortcuts to do things, and then those keyboard shortcuts just don't work.
Like, really?
Yeah, it's like you know, A for action key. It'll also, you know, exit a dialogue window for you, and then you press it, and it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, that happened to me in there. I had to click back on the window in order to get, like, I think for some reason the game loses
some sort of focus.
Something loses focus, because once I went and clicked on that dialogue box and then hit the thing, I didn't even get to the second level because the controls were so fucking mushy.
It took me a long time to figure out how to just get to the top of the tree to collect all the fish and stuff. Like, you can't really tell what a platform is.
I did notice once I jumped onto some kind of flying saucer-looking thing and she grabbed it.
Yeah.
And I could never get her to do it again.
You can, if you jump such that you're right in front of the edge of a platform, it'll auto-grab it for you.
I think you have to be holding up.
No.
Really?
Yeah, no, it'll just do it for you, I'm pretty sure.
I was never able to get it regularly unless I was holding up.
I do think it's just in the, it's just sort of a positional thing. But not knowing what our platforms and what's background are, very difficult.
Yeah.
Any kind of indication would have been really nice.
It looks, just, you know, the game looks cool, I guess. Yeah, I'm honestly really not that excited about it. Like, I understand that it's well done and a lot of thought went into it. I'm not particularly happy about it. From an aesthetic standpoint myself, but, you know.
It had a tutorial, effectively. It was, you know, like explaining what the controls were, but it didn't force you to really do anything. You know, there was a complaint in the thread, in that forum thread, that was like, you know, we explained to you that you have equipment and that you should equip it, but we don't require you to equip it. And, like, there's, like, two schools of thought there, right? Like, one, if we don't let you proceed without doing it, we're kind of holding your hand and forcing you to do it. So at least we know you can do it, but...
Another problem is that without without doing some... The thing is, it's not even complicated. It wouldn't be hard. But if we required you to equip your starting gear to proceed through the tutorial, what happens if you go and auto-sell it? Right? So we either have to give you a way to get it back, in which case, infinite meat bug, as long as you don't finish the tutorial, or we have to, like, disallow auto-selling before that point, and it's like, you know... It already causes problems that you can't adventure anywhere else before that. Remember, there was a bug for a long time that we just didn't find out about that was if you got over drunk without finishing the tutorial,
yeah,
it wouldn't let you adventure in the stupor. No matter where you tried to adventure, it would say you have to complete your training with the tutorial before you can adventure anywhere other than Noob Cave because you were trying to adventure in the stupor and it was disallowed.
Wow.
If somebody
How did they get enough booze to get drunk?
Somebody sent it to them. It was a new player, and somebody sent them some booze. And so it just hardly ever happened. And if somebody didn't think to report it, they'd come back the next day, and they'd be fine, right? So it was like, that lasted a long time before it got found. But, like, just the whole, you know, having to disallow auto-sell before you're done with the tutorial, that, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
messy.
It's messy. That's the thing. It's not that it would be difficult. It's not that it would cause a lot of problems. It's not that... You know, it is inelegant.
We could disallow it. We could get rid of the hermit thing. We could disallow the auto sell, and then we could give you something specifically to auto sell so that you understand that as a concept for gaining meat.
Yeah, actually, that might be something good to teach. Actually.
Somebody, my wife also for some reason believes, and a lot of people share this sentiment, and I think that. You know, being able to actually elucidate why this is the case is maybe, you know, could illustrate some fundamental aspect of human behavior in regards to games. The bird no longer gives you the headdress that it used
right.
to, right? The headdress didn't make any sense because it just flat out deprecated a piece of equipment that you started with that you never used for anything even once right. before it got replaced by a new piece of gear, right? Somebody suggested giving somebody something that... giving a reward, a gear reward at the end of the tutorial that you can't equip, right, until you level up,
yeah,
and how that... And I think like that's that. A bad idea. Like,
that's kind of rude. I like the idea of only starting them with their starting weapon and having the tutorial give them the other thing.
Yeah, this is what I think we probably could do, right? Is you start with your weapon equipped.
Yeah.
Right? Then he gives you the thing, and he's like, if you want to equip this, go to your inventory. And that's fine, right? And maybe he says that to you before, in between the cave part and the rabbit part. Another point that my wife made that actually hits him. Hey, this reminds me of a joke. How does a bachelor deal with criticism? He doesn't have to.
yeah.
So, hi, honey. I'm sure she's listening. So, one point that she made that I can definitely kind of understand. I'm not 100% convinced that this is exactly a real thing, but the fact that you're fighting rabbits in the beginning of the tutorial,
yeah, is less funny than
doesn't seem particularly KOL, right? It seems like it's funny in the same way, like, oh, the first item that you find is a kumquat, because kumquats, you know, those are things that are funny. So, like, you know, a mean rabbit that's going to kill you. I get it. I see what you did there. This is like that place in the Holy Grail where they do this. As opposed to, you know, the possessed can of tomatoes, right? Undead elbow macaroni, first thing that you used to encounter, really. And I don't know how iconic... Okay, so let's say for instance that the possessed can of tomatoes is iconic of KOL. I think that it is only iconic because of people's nostalgia for their early experiences of play, right?
No, I can see that, like, bunnies are not inherently funny and unique and interesting in the way that the stuff in the Haunted Pantry is, and the stuff in the Sleazy Back Alley, and...
But the stuff in the Sleazy Back Alley is spiders and hobos, which are...
Yeah.
Which is not unique. It's not KOL flavored. The Haunted Pantry...
The rushing bomb is pretty funny.
The completely different spider is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it sets up some of the jokes that KOL is all about. Yeah. The Knob Goblin barbecue team and stuff is a little, you know, just sort of random.
Yeah.
I think what this points to is that really we should have made a game that was all supernatural stuff, because that's clearly where we find the most inspiration and is the funniest. Right. Yeah, right, because, you know, like the Spooky Forest is full of funny, and the Haunted Pantry and Spooky Raven, it's all funny. That's what we should just get rid of anything that is not...
Anything that isn't spooky.
Spooky in the game.
Yeah, the Misspelled Cemetery is pretty spooky.
Hilarious,
yeah. Yeah. One thing that I do, you know, I got really excited about this notion, and then I got really unexcited about it. The indicator when you have unlocked a new zone.
Yeah.
I think that would add a lot. If I were playing the game, I think that would add a lot to the experience. Seeing an icon and a link to a new zone. So when you finish the tutorial, check this out. Here are these four zones that you can go to now.
Do you not even see them before then?
You see them, you just can't go to them.
Okay. How does the game know that you've unlocked the zone?
Well, that's why I got unexcited about it.
Okay.
After I actually started looking at it. There are all kinds of places where that happens, right?
Yeah.
Any place that a flag state can get set, you know, sometimes when you get an item... You know, like...
Yeah. And then stat levels sometimes are the thing that...
Yeah, but that... We've basically tried to eliminate those, and I think...
Dungeon full of dungeons.
Done so fairly successfully. Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, you know, we could just also store a bit field of, have you been notified about these, and the first time you go to the dungeon full of dungeons and have access to one that you haven't been notified about, it notifies you.
That's true.
So, I mean, that's...
Your mic cut out again.
Did it?
Yeah. Are you doing anything different?
No. It seems to be when I move around a lot. I don't know.
Okay.
Fuck, man. That's really aggravating. Yeah. Well, anyway.
No, I like that. I like zone notifications. If it could happen, I think that's cool.
I mean, it's, you know, it'd be pretty easy to do it in the beginning, right? Like, but it's one of those things where It would be a multi-day project to get them in everywhere that they need to be, because all kinds of shit is going to need to be
We
adjusted.
Already do that to some extent, right? We already do the, like, here, I'll mark that on your map for you. Like, that's a zone notification, effectively.
Yeah. But it'd be better if it was, like, achievement unlocked, like, iconic, you know? Like iconic in the literal sense.
Yeah. We could have it pop in front of everything with, like, a colored icon and, like, a circle that's, like, a star inside of it, and, like little fireworks and stuff go off and a little sound.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
That sounds like a fantastic idea.
Cool. Done. Make it so.
All right. So I think I'm gonna stop this recording that we'll have this as the initial first hour segment, and then we should take a 5-minute break and then start over and read some questions. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce this segment, and then I'm going to play this segment, and then I'm going to outro this segment and say, hey, send in questions about this if you want during the music break, hoping that the music break doesn't occur during rollover, which it totally won't. Right, because this show is all early and shit. So people can send in questions about this during the music break, and then I'll play the next segment that we record, and then after that, I will answer some questions that come in about
and
the tutorials.
Nobody will be able to hear you because your mic cuts out. It'll be great.
Oh, did it just cut out again?
No, it didn't, but it fuzzed for a little bit. I don't know if this is just... You know, it could just be a Skype thing that we're hearing, experiencing.
Yeah.
I think it's great that you're introducing the outro right now.
Yeah. All right, so
now you're introducing the intro to the outro.
Take it away, Jick. Hey, thanks, Jick. Don't mind if I do. And also, don't mind if I unplug the power supply to my laptop. Ah, boy. You know, it's like I fix all these fucked up problems at the office, and then immediately, I think I've said exactly the same thing on a previous show here. But, yeah, got this nice, awesome, great-sounding recording rig back at the office. Yeah, and this is what I'm doing. So, yeah, I'm going to play a few songs. I've got like a half hour's worth of second segment of us answering questions that we recorded earlier, and it looks like there have been a handful of questions that came in response to this stuff. If you got anything that you want me to address specifically, either right after the music break or right after the half hour segment that I play, go ahead and send in questions. Again, chat, private message to Radio Bugbear. And here's some They Might Be Giants.
To the Jungle Gym. Welcome to the Jungle Gym. Welcome to it, Jim. Welcome to the Jungle Land. Welcome to the Jungle Dan. Welcome to it, John. Think you're gonna like, I think you're gonna like it. Once you give in the jungle a chance. Think you're gonna like it. Once you give in it a chance. In the jungle. In the jungle, in the jungle. Now you will be with me. Put your hand in my hand. Lift up the rock and see all the things that share the jungle with us. Push me in the face again, push me in the face again, push me in the face, push me in the face again, push me in the face again, push me in the face. Didn't really like, I didn't really like the last time when you pushed me in the face. Didn't really like the last time when you pushed my face. In the jungle. In the jungle. In the jungle. Now you will be with me. Put your hand in my hand. Lift up the rock and see all the things that live in the jungle with us. Put your hand near the bug. We are so much like them. See how the bug reacts to your hand in the same way as I do.
Ten miles from nowhere, there's a story that's true about a fine girl and a boy just like you. They fell so deeply, but then fell apart. Now they say the same words of what used to be, what used to be. And crawls on the ground. Finds her old hair comb she'd wear into town. Can't bear to keep it or throw it away. Gets back down on his knees, puts it back where it lay. Back where it lay.
I blame you. while they were staring at the sicko sign is when they lost our trail. They thought we were part of a caravan, but we had other plans. You can't catch me where I'm gonna fall. You can't catch me where I hide. This world's too cold, this nobody rolls. I'm moving to the sun. Times a million more. Quite a trip we've planned. I must drive now carefully and figure where we'll land. You can't catch me where I'm gonna fall. You can't catch me where I hide. This world's cold, so I'm gonna run. I'm moving to the sun.
I don't want to be first in line to see Mrs. Train. I expect that it doesn't matter to Mrs. Train. Yourself and being patient and taking your time are the things that Mrs. Train can understand. I've never seen a train like this before, but then again, there's never been a train like this before, like Mrs. Train. And someone's got to be the one to declare that they wanna be next in line to see Mrs. Train. But I don't want to be first in line to see Mrs. Train. I expect that it doesn't matter to Mrs. Train. Being patient and taking your time are things the train can understand. And I'll be happy when I finally take her hand. There's never been a train like this before. Someone's got to be the one at the head of the line to first see Mrs. Train. But I'm not in any rush to head the line, and so the line has a missing hand. And I don't want to be first in line to see the missing hand. I expect that it doesn't matter to the missing hand. Being patient and taking your time are things that a head can understand. And I'll be happy when I finally take its hand. There's never been a head like this before. Someone's got to be the one at the head of the line to first see the missing hand. But I'm not in any rush to head the line, and so the line has a missing hand. And I don't want to be first in line to see the missing hand. The missing hand. Being patient and taking your time, and things that heck can understand. And I'll be happy when I finally take its hand. And I don't want to be first in line with the missing hand. I expect that it doesn't matter, the missing hand. Being patient and taking your time, and things that heck can understand. And I'll be happy when I finally take its hand. I don't want to be first in line with the missing hand. I expect that it doesn't matter, the missing hand. Human weakness,
fills my Johnny cup with gloom. Your progression, my digression. 40 days this afternoon. The things we cherish are small indeed, so much the larger the need. Stormy pinkness set me thanklessly free. In your mind with wrong ideas that appeal to you, though I am not unkind. She looked at me, I looked at something written across her scalp, and these are the words that it faintly said as I tried to call for help. There's only one thing that I know how to do well, and I've often been told that you only can do what you know how to do well, and that's be you. Be what you're like, be like yourself. And so I'm having a wonderful time, but I'd rather be whistling in the dark. Whistling in the dark, whistling in the dark, whistling in the dark, whistling in the dark, whistling in the dark. There's only one thing that I like, and that is whistling in the dark. A man came up to me and said, I'd like to change your mind by hitting it with the rock, he said, though I am not unkind. We laughed at his little joke, and then I happily walked away and hit my head on the wall of the jail where the two of us live today. There's only one thing that I know how to do well, and I've often been told that you only can do what you know how to do well, and that's be you. Be what you're like, be like yourself. And so I'm having a wonderful time, but I'd rather be whistling in the dark. Whistling in the dark, whistling in the dark, whistling in the dark. Whistling in the dark, whistling in the dark. There's only one thing that I like, and that is whistling in the dark. There's only one thing that I know how to do well, and I've often been told that you only can do what you know how to do well, and that's be you. Be what you're like, be like yourself. And so I'm having a wonderful time, but I'd rather be whistling in the dark. Whistling in the dark, whistling in the dark, whistling in the dark. Whistling in the dark, whistling in the dark, whistling, whistling, whistling in the dark.
I'm back. So I had a handful of questions that came in during that segment, and I'm going to get to them now. VlaxNV wrote, "This is my first chance to listen to the show live in 2 years, and it's a recorded one. Not that they are any less entertaining, but oh, the irony. Yeah, but it's different. You know, this was recorded a mere 2 hours ago." Man Egg says, "Hey, I'm an avid rock climber. Is there any way, since you don't delete accounts anymore, would it be possible to delete slash remove people from clans that are inactive and have been for a while?" Well, yeah, you can. If you're the leader, you can boot somebody from a clan. If you are in a clan with an inactive leader, the clan will promote an active player to leader. That's buggy. If you are inactive and the leader of a clan, then you don't care whether the clan is
full of other inactive people or not. Gleeb says, hot stuff is crazy. Jick is right. The original NES Metroid aged horribly. No map in every room looks the same. I prefer Super Metroid or Metroid Zero Mission. Yeah, I have never actually played through Super Metroid. I never got it for the Super Nintendo when I had it, and I never was able to actually stick with it on an emulator. I think what happens to me every time I try and play it is I get to some point where I'm not even sure if you can get through the room. It might be a case where you need some speed power-up or something that I... It's like there's a top part that you got to run really fast because the floor starts disappearing when you get onto it, and if you drop through, you can bomb your way back through some pillars or something. I get there, and then I stop playing. That's what always happens. Gleeb says, pausing at a bus station is a bad idea, too. Bums will confront you and ask for money. Some of them are kind of useful and tell you where your gate is. The first time I was in New York, I was trying to figure out where to go inside a subway station, and, like, just the like, stereotypical, like, wild-eyed, filthy beard, long, scraggly hair, homeless-looking guy with, like, half a tooth came up and asked me where I was trying to get to. And I told him, and then he just explained totally lucidly and helpfully where I needed to go to get to the other subway line. That was weird. Rickett said, before we even got to that point in the discussion, the bunnies in the Warren are nice, but they're no undead elbow macaroni. Just throwing that out there. Yeah, I understand that that is a concern that many people share. Gleeb says, you could make the Hermit / Sewer Quest a second mission from the Toot. Yeah. Buzzy Bieski, who else? Dev Joe also points out that you need the planks from the Hermit also. Zona points out, and this is another thing, because I don't remember if we did this before, so if you change anything in the tutorial, you'll have to give everyone an option to be able to do it again, because I'm a content whore and have to do it all. Yeah. You know, I mean, I feel like if we were to change the tutorial significantly, you know, if we did something like the thing that we're talking about where you start with your weapon equipped and then your other piece of gear you get as a reward from the tutorial, I'm not going to let everybody go through the tutorial again just for that, because it seriously would be like a single sentence change in the text, and you can just look at that on the wiki. If we were to do something totally new with it, we would definitely, you know, even if we didn't make it so you could go back and do it again, we would eventually cave to what would undoubtedly be a huge amount of pressure from people to let you play through the new one. Plus, you know, we would want feedback, so be in our best interests to do it anyway. Buzzy Bieski also says, RuneScape has a horrible force tutorial. I remember that. I remember the RuneScape tutorial being really long and really boring. But then RuneScape dumps you out into a world where I could not find a goddamn thing to do. So I don't know what the answer is there. You know, it wasn't because I didn't know how the game worked. It's because I have no fucking idea where you're supposed to go to, like, kill some monsters as a starting character in RuneScape. It seriously seems like when you start playing RuneScape, you are dropped into a city that is 10 screens from you in every direction before you get to any kind of, like, starter wilderness area. Maybe there are monsters around in the city, and I just didn't see them because there were so many other people there killing them, or whatever. Like, there are certainly an overwhelming number of other players fucking around in there, but, yeah. And I guess that's it for the live segment of the show. Fred Levi says, wow, Jick, you stopped playing Super Metroid at the Noob Bridge? There's a run button, you know. See, this is probably the problem. I feel like Super Metroid is one of those games that really requires all six buttons on the Super Nintendo controller, and that is really difficult to pull off on an emulator. You know, I could get a gamepad, I guess. I have one at home, but I haven't bothered with it. Hey, Battery said, apropos of nothing in particular, but why does the description for the tiny bundle, why does the description for the tiny bindle end in a dangling preposition? I don't think it's a dangling preposition. Is it? Is that a real phrase? There's a dangling participle. dangling preposition has not a... Okay. Maybe that's a word that people use. It's not a real rule. It's totally fine to end sentences with prepositions if they sound stupid when rearranged so as to not end them with a preposition. Okay. So that was all of the questions that came in during that first segment. Maybe nobody listens live anymore, man. Maybe nobody listens live to any Mormons. So here comes the second segment. 30 minutes of us answering questions, and I'll see you at the end to maybe answer a few more questions that come in during this segment, and then to send you all off to Slumberland with a nice lullaby. We're back from that music break. We didn't really take a music break. We did business. We talked about business. Serious business, like that of the internet.
Business.
And the law.
Yeah. The lol.
I'm a lol enforcer.
We kind of, as internet humorists, we do belong to the lol enforcement community.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Let's see. Gold S says, C-Zone progress?
And then again, C-Zone progress? And then again, Corral or C-Zone update?
I think, I don't know where the name of the Corral got leaked from.
Didn't you say it? Didn't we explain it?
I don't know, man. Whoa, did somebody just turn a lightsaber on?
No, that was me yawning.
Oh.
My lightsaber's right here, though.
Daywalker says, new use for extra fuzzy dice. Fuzzy dice omelet.
That's pretty funny.
Momoka says, common chameleons who act as exotic parrots don't improve your resistances even at 25 pounds. Bug or feature? Yeah, that's because... So, basically, the parrot is the only familiar that acts outside of combat.
Except for the hand.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Enchantments on the hand.
Yeah. So, because of that, the function that the parrot uses to adjust your elemental resistances gets called before the game knows that it needs to pretend that your familiar is a parrot. So, yeah, it's goofy.
Is that something that we can fix?
It could be, yeah. I mean, we could just hard code around it for the chameleon / doppelshifter, which... The way to fix that is to make the resistance only apply in combat, but then people will be all pissed off.
Yeah, no, I feel like it should be consistent.
Yeah. yawned. Spastic Dancer says, the short $1 RPG should be Crack Rocks 2, Rock's Revenge. A good iPhone roguelike would be good.
Yeah, that's really like
good,
scaled...
A good anything would be good.
A scaled up version where you're like clicking around to like do stuff would be kind of neat. That's easy to do and just... You just need content for it, kind of, really.
Well, we got that in spades. We can produce content like a motherfucker.
I wonder how much, if we really sat down and, like, put our noses to the collective grindstones, how much content we could rip through.
I don't know.
In a matter of time.
Yeah.
I feel like we're getting to that point on the next, on our next project.
We're really going to have to start just doing some decision making, some content building. Now, Catatonic says, I heard on NPR that April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. What's Asymmetric doing to improve the workplace? We've actually banned chloroform to make people more aware of any sexual assault that they may experience.
I just watched the episode of Arrested Development where he's got the roofies that he's given to everybody to like make them forget bad stuff. And it ends with, like, him talking to his son or whatever, and he's like, I'll never forget this. And then he leaves, and he says, but I will. And he takes one himself, downs it with some alcohol. It's nice. Arrested Development is just an awesome show.
I was listening to Bette Noir turn me on to that The Sound of Young America podcast. It's like that PRI show. Last night, as I went to sleep, I was listening to a half-hour interview with Michael Cera.
Isn't that the guy that the Pretentious Artist almost advertised with? Is that the guy who does that like kind of funny podcast? No, isn't he the one?
I don't know if Casper Hauser is.
Yeah, it's Casper Hauser. It's the same guy that did the.
I literally can't plug a plug into a plug. I don't know. I mean, because there was a point where it seemed like Casper Hauser was involved with a particular episode of this, but I don't know that. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it is.
I think that's his other podcast. I think he has that one and another one.
I see.
Yes. Yeah.
Well,
I think
it's pretty good. Everything that I've listened to on it so far, it's been pretty good.
You could probably get on it if you wanted to.
Yeah.
If you're willing to go to LA or whatever.
Yeah.
Or is he in LA or New York?
I think he might be in LA.
You should get onto any podcasts that happen to be in New York while you're in New York. Like this one.
Woo!
Yeah, Mike cut out again. I don't know if you can hear me. Your mic. No sound. No mic. I don't think you can hear me.
Yes. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah.
All right. I don't know what the fuck, man. This is really aggravating.
I just hope it doesn't happen when you're on the radio. You should...
It's happening when I'm on the radio.
No, by yourself. I can tell you now and fill the dead space.
But when I'm on the radio, I have a monitor bouncing up and down with my mic levels. So
does Skype not have a little bouncy level thing?
No, it's all friendly. It'll occasionally pop up and say, "You sound very quiet. Is there something wrong with your shit?" actually, do you remember what time we started recording this bit?
Like 5-10 minutes ago. I don't remember specifically.
All right. Let's see. Dragonfly 15. Go ahead.
You also have a microphone built into your computer that works just fine.
I know.
So that's a possibility.
Dragonfly 15 says, "Are there any undiscovered ultra rares?" No. Beyond Birthday says, "You've been given a room full of whipped cream to do whatever you please with. What do you do?" I pull out my phone to call someone to clean up the room full of whipped cream. And then I use the room to store pancakes.
It would probably smell nice.
Nah.
For a little while.
Yeah, for...
The whipped cream smell, not the rotting pancake smell.
Well, yeah, but eventually it's going to be rotting whipped cream smell. It'll go all sour.
Maybe, I guess. I told you about that art installation that I went into that was called Volatile, that you had to, like, take off your shoes and wrap them wrap your feet in little booties, and then you walk through this tiny door, and it's really dark, and there's this, like, sort of sulfury smell in there, and you're walking through this sort of coarse, grayish powder, and you come around this corner, and it's just a single candle that's lit, stuck in this stuff, and you realize what you're smelling is gunpowder. And you're in a room with a candle sitting in some gunpowder, and you're like, what the fuck? But it wasn't really gunpowder.
I see.
But you gave you very much that impression, like any moment the candle could fall over and everyone you know would
perish in flames.
Perish. Yeah, because it was so large it would blow up the entire planet.
Or really, everyone you know would be purified by the cleansing power of fire.
That's true. That's true.
Sweet smell of lemon.
Let's see. KennyMan666 says, "Food X being worse than Food Y with Got Milk active when Food X is better than Food Y without milk. Intentional?" It's going to happen because the way that stuff works.
I actually really like that, to be honest.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was part of the nice thing about the level requirements is that, like, you know, with a single metric for how good food is, which basically, if you're not paying attention to the stat gains, there is only a single metric for how good food is, it's far less interesting than if certain food is situationally more useful than certain other foods. So, yeah. I mean, I guess arguably... the turns that you get out of food with got milk on is now the single metric, because if you can have got milk, you should. So it's not really a choice. It's just a matter of
access. It is a choice in the sense that you, whether or not you have access to it, right? Like,
yeah. As Morbidus says, would it be too much work to make it so instead of clicking on an item for a description, you could just hover over the name and a box would pop up with the info until you move the cursor? I personally think that would probably be better, right?
The hover over thing?
Yeah, except that there's not really a good way to implement that. We could do it where it popped up a little thing and then use some Ajax to call desk call desk item, but I would want the hover to show up immediately. If I were going to do that, I hate tooltips with a delay.
Oh, man.
And then, so like, as you dragged your mouse across the inventory,
yeah,
it would generate 30 page loads. Even if it didn't show anything, it would still be calling desk item all of those times. So yeah, like,
that's brutal.
It is. I mean, if it was just like a handful of text about an item, you know, then, which I guess it wouldn't really need to show the picture.
Since you've got the picture right there.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, we don't want every inventory load to have to include metadata for all of the descriptions of the item. Because it just creates a huge amount of extra. If, you know, if it was just a sentence or whatever, because, like, 12 sans, the inventory just has hover text, you know, with everything and the details about it. But it's nowhere near as much information, even with all that, as a given cell of your inventory in KOL is. I think a lot could be done to make the inventory page significantly lighter in terms of its HTML footprint and its carbon footprint.
Yeah, we could load the inventory page only with recycled power.
That's true.
Store of Thrones says, what are your thoughts on 4th edition D&D versus 3rd edition D&D? I never read any or played any 3rd edition D&D. I like 4th edition D&D.
I mean, I never played any 3rd edition. I played a fair bit of 2nd, I guess. 1st and 2nd edition D&D. And, like, the group that I played with, D&D was a lot of fun and very imaginative. And, like, having the desktop MMORPG, basically, that 4th edition is kind of less appealing to me.
Yeah.
But I can see how in general it might be better.
But I don't think that 4th edition, the thing is, I don't think that when you played that, what I'm saying is, I don't think that 4th edition prohibits that kind of play.
Sure.
And I don't think it even promotes it less than earlier editions did. It's just, it is very gamey seeming, which I feel like they would have done with first edition if they had thought of it, right? Like, I feel like it's just kind of an evolution of
the
form.
The once per day, once per session, once per round combat actions that are basically just cooldowns on, you know, World of Warcraft powers and stuff like that. That's a totally different kind of functionality that is, it's less narratively interesting in some ways.
Well, but the thing is, I feel like the biggest thing that 4th edition adds in my mind is that it makes every class interesting to play in combat, right? Okay. Which just wasn't the case before. Being a fucking first level magic user was just, it was just ass. I mean, you were like not even a glass cannon. You were, you know, like the whole...
You're just a glass.
Yeah.
And that glass exactly. Was half...
Hi, look, check it out. I have one hit point, and once per day, I can deal 1d6 damage. This rules! You know, later on, I'll be super powerful, but, like, seriously, fuck that noise.
But the whole point, I thought, of being a magic user at that level was, like, cantrips and, like, avoiding combat and stuff.
Sure.
Like, you make, you know, you do some sort of ventriloquism thing and the monster turns around and you run away, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I don't know. Like, the thing is, I feel like with the right dungeon master, 4th edition could have all of the neat storytelling things
sure.
that you have, but it's we're telling stories for a while, now we're playing a video game for a while, now we're telling stories for a while, now we're playing a video game for a while, and I think that'd be a great way to change things up, you know? Like, because you can tell stories about what's going on when you're playing it, right? And I feel like, in general, like, if I were running the game and somebody said something interesting that happened, I would ignore the rules in favor of that interesting thing happening as a part of the story, right? And so that's, you know.
Smoove is in town, by the way, now that you've left town.
Oh, son of a bitch.
He's visiting for a week.
Yeah, just for the weekend, I think, isn't it?
I don't know. He'll
be back for at some later date.
Date or late.
Yeah.
Your reaction was nice, though.
Jump the Shark says, "Hey, guys, what's the deal with airline food? I mean, seriously, they can fly a plane over the Pacific, but they can't make a decent meatloaf? Am I right?" Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Ben says,
apparently on my flight to New York, which I'm doing later, I get meals.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Who knew?
You don't have to purchase it?
Apparently not. Well, okay, I don't know. Who knows?
You know, like, soda and stuff was free on my flight with JetBlue. JetBlue is not yet charging. Like, they're free snacks, even. They come around with this big basket, and you can just take as much as you want. The guy one row ahead of me was just grabbing, like, giant handfuls of stuff, and so then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take one. Because I don't want to look even a little bit like that prick.
He was feeding his family.
Yeah.
Family of four.
That lives in his stomach.
Yeah, he ate them.
Mr. Ben says, when you come up with ideas for items of the month, are they usually brainwaves that come the month before, or do you have some sort of long-term plan? It's usually, a lot of the time, it's just scrambling around to come up with something on, like, the 28th.
Seven months ago, we were like, okay, and we came up with 6 months worth of items a month.
Yeah.
And now we're not. And now we're done.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the future will hold. We've got ideas for the June one already.
Yeah.
May we're still.
Well, I mean, I kind of like the just the notion that we can do whatever the fuck we want with May.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be a familiar or a piece of Statiline gear or anything. You know, like we just make something up. May is innovation and.
April showers bring May dud bombs.
damn the profit margins. Full steam ahead creatively.
Woohoo.
Yeah. So get on that. Riff?
Okay.
Nothing that requires, like, a whole lot of content, though. Because we got that nailed down for June. No, I mean, that was the thing about the Mayflies, you know, was like, oh, I got an idea. Let's do an item that does different things in every zone. Yeah, no.
Which, honestly, we should flesh out a little bit more as part of our Q1 stuff.
Yeah. I got a significant amount of the groundwork done for the turtle stuff.
I'm excited about the turtles and the other thing, which is not really an expansion of a Q1 project, but
I don't want to spoil anything about that yet, though, because that's
why I noticed I was very unspecific.
Yeah, you were very unspecific. Muscle class love, though. By and large, we got a lot of muscle class love planned.
You could just say love muscle.
Yeah.
You could.
I know that you like it when I say that, but I'm not going to indulge that particular vice of yours. Wonder Clown says, will the Frumious Bandersnatch ever be given combat abilities associated with Harpoon and the Turtle Tamer underwater combat skill? No.
No.
It is just the initial set of skills that you can buy from the guild.
From the trainer, yeah.
RDFM says, hey guys, thanks for putting a theremin in the game. If you haven't seen the movie Theremin, you should check it out. Very charming. Okay. About Dependence Day, the fact that the fireworks at the market go muscle mox mist instead of muscle mist mox gets me buying the wrong thing every time. Just saying.
Oh, because they're in alphabetical order or something?
Yeah. I don't really know what I can do about that. You know, I guess it would be nice if we could specify, like, an ordinal for
can't
every...
you specify orderings in stores?
You can't. You can fake the ordering of shelves, which we do sometimes by putting stuff in comments, like putting an HTML comment in, and then everything gets set, everything gets sorted by the HTML comment. But without, you know, we could put comments, we could put HTML comments in the names of the items. So, I mean, you could search for exclamation point dash dash, and you would find a snake. Although, you can't, because, well, I don't know if they can go in the mall or not. Yeah. Macaroni the Bent says, will the Bounty Hunter ever get new rewards? I have everything in stock now, and I'm not sure if I want to continue gathering lucre. Thanks, keep up the good work, and I love the sea. Yeah, no, I think we're going to get rid of everything that the Bounty Hunter has and put in all new gear like in like a couple days, right? Riff, you're almost done with that, right?
No. I still have 70 days to go to get my hound dog, man.
Shiverwarp says, I would love an iPhone app, and I would totally buy it for probably $5 or $10. If we did an iPhone, client for playing KOL, we would give it away. We would not sell it.
We'd give it away now.
We would. And what we got, you'd got to get it and put it in you.
Your iPhone.
Yeah. Jay Schulter says, so why didn't the awesome new / rollover command get any sort of announcement? Yeah,
you fucked up in April's announcements just kind of hardcore. You never announced the item of the month in April.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. And there were two of them.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow. Do we make any money?
Dude, I don't know.
that sucks. yeah, so here's the thing. We were talking about, like, we needed three things to have in a like, Trivial Storm announcement, right? That was, like, an announcement needed three things. Like, we've come up with this rule, right? If you have three trivials in a row, you can just make an announcement out of those three trivials, right? And so C.D. Moyer was looking for things that he had done to announce because it had been a while since there had been an update posted, and so brainstorming about stuff. Somebody said something about / rollover, and I said, what does / rollover do? And they said, it runs a rollover for a devster. I'm like, oh, okay. So I thought it was a joke, right? I thought the idea of announcing that as a feature was a joke, but it turns out that the joke was what it actually did. And so, I didn't announce it at the time when I found out about it, because I am the most gullible person on earth.
It's because you don't read the devlogs closely enough.
Yeah, maybe.
You would have known.
Or the dictionary.
Or the dictionary.
I don't read the devlogs as carefully as you do because I'm too busy working instead of just reading the devlogs all day.
It is particularly brutal with you away. Like, there's just, the logs are just long.
Yeah. Well, long. I have been eating a lot of fiber.
Yeah. Me too.
Have you changed your diet recently?
Yeah, I tried to cut out, like, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand calories from my diet. Like, I've been eating regular dinners, but I have, like, my lunches have been very basic.
Like a single leaf of spinach?
Maybe.
Half a grape.
You microwave the other half.
Yeah. But you actually need to have them connected to do the plasma thing.
Okay. Fine. The Logman says, what's the deal with the colored chat? It's called Ebonics, and I don't think they like being to as colored anymore. And it's not just chat, it's a full-fledged dialect, man. The Logman, man, what is the matter with you? Noah M says, if you find a bug like the daily flag when you were talking about, is it bad to exploit it after you have reported it? I'm not talking about ridiculous infinite meat bugs. Oh, and also, new content vector, Mr. Claw items. You know, the standpoint that we've always taken is if you report something and you want to use it a little bit to do something funny, then use it to do something funny, and that's fine. You know, if you figure out a way to duplicate something and you put a million of them in your display case, like, okay, whatever, you're not in trouble for that. Although, can I have those back, please? You know? But, like, you know, okay, knowing Ank, you've listened to a lot of these radio shows. You have a pretty good idea of the things that piss me off and the things that don't piss me off, and that's the criterion, right? So just think about it. Think about, if you were me, how would you feel if somebody did whatever it is that you're doing? And, you know, let your conscience be your guide. Tom93 says, have any of you played Puzzle Quest? It's pretty sweet. The final boss is retarded hard, but apart from that, it's a kick-ass game. Bejeweled and RPG is basically the perfect formula for game addiction. I mean, I played the shit out of Puzzle Quest, like, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was a while.
Yeah. I got it on my iPhone, but I haven't played it yet.
Oh, yeah. Did you never play through it on the DS?
Yeah, I didn't finish, but I got a lot of the way. It is now. It was done in like two chapters, and the first there's like three chapters. The first two of which are out, but those two chapters comprise the entirety of the original game, and the third chapter is additional.
Huh. And it's not out yet.
The third chapter is not. No,
that's interesting.
Did you have to pay for both chapters?
I paid for the first one, and then the second one was a free update.
I see. Okay.
Oh, so it's all in the same application?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah. I might play it again on the iPhone. I played through it as one class. I beat it. It's got that sort of obnoxious thing where, like, you can make one choice in the game. There is one effing choice to be made in the entire game, and it is like in the third quest of the game you make a choice that then gives you an option like literally like the next to the last thing that you do in the game. You get a new option unlocked if you've done the one thing in its very beginning of it. Like, I don't know. People, and I was reading a thing today, I don't remember what it was. Maybe on Kill 10 Rats, a thing about making players make meaningful choices and how MMO players don't like choices that end up locking out content. And that's something. So I've been playing Metroplexity still, and there are some parts of it that are just fucking brutal. Like, I've encountered like three boss fights where losing the boss fight caused the person that I was trying to rescue to get killed by the boss.
But does that have impact on the game other than?
Other than the reward, I mean, you don't get a reward from them. Presumably, they would conceivably be contacts that would give you new quests in the future. I don't know how much. I don't know how much they, you know, in the grand scheme of things, that you will end up being able to lock out by fucking those things up. But it's like, you know. I encountered a quest that I sort of just can never finish, and so I can never do anything else with this guy because I fucked up the quest. Right? So, yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, if there were an obvious... it seems like there is some kind of reset or ascension mechanic in place, but it might only be, like, a testing thing. I've seen people talking about it, but I haven't seen it in the game, so I don't know. I don't know what the story is with that. Yeah, anyway. Someone else says there should be salad tinted glasses as a summonable hilarious object. Yeah.
Salad tinted?
Yeah.
That's actually a good idea.
To turn on the salad-ify.
Oh. Huh.
Radical Edward 101 says, I love it when you bullshit about comic books.
Do we do that often?
I don't.
I feel like I'm the only one of us that reads a lot of comic books.
Yeah, but my go-to thing when I describe us just fucking around talking about stuff is bullshitting about comic books. No,
okay.
Not always talking about comic books. Although Scully and I talked about like Sandman, and I read all the Sandman recently. So
I can borrow it from you at some point.
Chai JD said that t-shirt hell going out of business was a prank. Not sure if it was a prank so much as a like really sleazy attempt to drum up a bunch of additional business.
Yeah. I wonder, I guess it wouldn't work for us at all. So we're going out of business, and people be like, "Oh, let me get my turns in real quick."
No. We're going out of business. Buy a whole lot of Mr. A's before they're gone.
I guess that wouldn't work for us. So you guys know we're never
going to do that.
Are we going to PAX this year? Do you think?
I don't know. We'll have to decide at some point.
It sort of depends on the mini bosses whether they're going to actually go or not. Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I don't know whether or not we get extended that sort of courtesy, you know. Because I always said if I wasn't able to go basically for free and if I wasn't able to get into the exhibit hall ahead of time, I probably wouldn't go. And so, like, if they can't do that for us this year, then I would say no. Because it's not...
Because their special like bonuses are kind of what make it worth going in your mind.
Yeah. And I just don't know to what extent, like, you know... It seems like the kind of thing where they're sort of... Like, the people putting on PAX are still kind of figuring out what they want to do with it. And so they may well decide this year, sorry, people aren't allowed to bring as many guests or whatever. So it's never a sure thing is the thing. Like, it's just, you know, maybe a week ahead of time. Maybe a month ahead of time I find out, you know, but, like, yeah. I mean, if I'm going, you're going, probably, but I don't know that either of us is going.
I see.
Well, we should, this has been enough for this segment, I think, so we should call this quits. I'm gonna, stop the recording now and, take it away, Jick, in real time. Hey, thanks, Jick. Oh. Hey, check it out. So, somehow in reaching to unplug the laptop, I accidentally clicked the mouse on the button that turned the mic off. So, wait, you didn't miss anything. I didn't say anything funny in the few seconds that you couldn't hear me. let's see. I guess, I'll see if any questions came in at the end here, and then if not, then I'll just start at the beginning and try and burn through 10 minutes of questions before Uncle Ampy takes over. I haven't gotten a check-in from him yet. Rhyme writes, Rhyme rushes to print up WWPJO bracelets. What would piss Jack off? Yeah. Cheese Basher says, Dear Jick, is it possible to make an item/skill that lets you eat a monster to inherit its properties? One of the clan dungeon premises that we've been tossing around for like a long, long time has something similar to that. It certainly wouldn't be like every monster, but categorizing monsters and being able to do something with them based on their category is definitely something that I'm sure that we'll eventually do. Let's see. Glebe says, you could shell out the $10 and get Super Metroid for the virtual console. Yeah, but then I'd have to buy a friggin' controller for it. Although, I guess... I've still never gotten a straight answer on whether my Wavebirds are going to work with my Wii or not. I feel like at some point Scully told me that they did, and then at some point he told me that they didn't. So, I know that a regular GameCube controller will work, but the cord on it is not nearly long enough. Okay, so nothing really came in at the end. So, back to the top. Jeff says, which KOL foods are kosher? None of them. One of the things about... one of the sort of unfortunate aspects of existence in KOL is that the sort of magic left behind on the continent by the departure of the pork elves means that everything has just the slightest dusting of pork fat on it, and there's really nothing that you can do about it. It's insidious. You can't keep it out of anything. Elfin is asking about... Metroplexity says, how do you spell that? I can't find it. And then says, never mind, I see you you spell it 10 minutes later in the recording. For those of you looking for it, it's Metroplexity, Metroplexity. It's pretty fun. I've been playing. Make a guy. Join my clan. We're going to be like KOL Addicts or Sursa Nam's clan. Royal Tonberry says, have you considered adding an alarm clock mechanic that users can set to trigger after a certain number of adventures? It'd give them a special non-adventure page when triggered, so they could remember to do what they wanted to after that number of adventures. Useful for semi-rare counting or not spending too long in an area. Yeah, you know, a lot of people have asked for that. And that's... Having it give a non-combat... sort of non-combat page, you know, I could definitely see that. But it's just, there's already the alarm clock item... So I feel like putting another item that was an alarm clock would be, yeah, a little confusing. Vic Threven says, a while back you guys were talking about NetHack, which sounded interesting enough for me to check out. I didn't get into it much then, but I just opened it up again and I'm now thoroughly addicted. Talk about NetHack more. I'm terrible at NetHack, but it is one game that I've consistently played for... you know, I got a version of it when I was... I don't know. It was before I moved to Arizona, so maybe I was 11 or 12. I got a version of Hack, which was the kind of precursor to NetHack, on one of those weird shareware. They used to sell at stores, basically for the cost of media, collections of shareware on floppy disks. So I bought, for like $4 or $5, this 5 1/4 inch floppy with a game called Ranadin, which was like a shareware Ultima clone and Hack. And Ranadin was boring and I didn't really get into it at all. But Hack was fucking awesome. And I played that a lot. And then later on when I discovered the internet, I found NetHack and NetHack rules. NetHack requires too careful an approach for me to really get into it seriously. Like, I have played it, and I've gotten to Gehenna, like, twice in the hundreds and hundreds of games that I've played. Like, I just kind of, I explore and fight monsters, and every once in a while I get some really awesome treasure, but then I start getting all stressed out, because I'm like, oh man, I got a wish. So I got my, I read somewhere that the thing you're supposed to wish for is, like, a blessed +3 gray dragon scale mail, or whatever. So I got that, and I'm like, awesome, I'm invincible, but then I get killed by some shit, or like I drown because I forget that you're not supposed to swim with heavy armor on, or something like. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good game though. Inferno Hero says, "Hey guys, I haven't played in about 2 months, and I occasionally take long breaks like this. I want to thank, or if you want to thank anything for keeping me back, it's your radio shows. Thanks for the great game and the mild entertainment I get from your shows. Gets me through road trips, workouts, and work. Great." Mild entertainment is our speciality. Linguini Lad says, how come sometimes when I get my free rest in my house of twigs and spit, I get 240 MP and other times only 120 MP? Do you not get doubled MP back from resting when Ronald is full? I think that's... It gives you a message, the bright face of Ronald shines on you. Vorthok says, have Innobox make bacon stone studded pants? Yeah, speaking of the pork elves. Yeah, what we were going to do to make the... Because part of the... So there were a couple of goals that we had for the three post-ascension environments with NS13. One of them was to give everything a mind control device, because that was... We felt too interesting a mechanic to limit to just one moon sign. And the other was to give pork gems a use in every sign, and so we came up with the one for the gnomes, but I think the plan is just to make some meat smithing recipes that only Innobox knows that let you make gem studded weapons. Armor's good too though. Hadn't even thought about that. Frankenbean says, can the discoveries page be modified to understand that meat stacks don't need to be in your inventory in order to craft a discovered item? I don't know. I think that logic is already tricky enough. Ask C.D. Moyer if he's in a good mood and you give him a Cadbury cream egg. You know, I have no idea if C.D. Moyer likes Cadbury cream eggs. I know I like them. Damn. Oh, man, you know what was awesome? The other night when I was drunk, I went to this store I don't know why it took me so long to say store. Anyway, I was drunk and I went to the store and I bought something and then I was like, ooh, cream eggs. So I bought a couple of cream eggs and put them in my pocket and then totally forgot about them until the next day when I'm like, wait a minute, I bought cream eggs yesterday. Then I went and I had like two surprised delicious Cadbury cream eggs. That was fucking awesome. I need to do stuff like that more often. Maybe I need to get myself some roofies. Zooper says, hey guys, no real question here. I just wanted to say that Brother Corsican really creeps me out. Why does Brother Corsican creep you out? What's creepy about Brother Corsican? I don't even remember what he does. Corsican Brothers was it was like the only Cheech and Chong movie I saw. It's the only Cheech and Chong movie I've ever seen all the way through. I watched it a bunch of times when I was a kid, for whatever reason. I don't know. Why did my parents let me watch a Cheech and Chong movie when I was a kid? I don't know. Zaphodak42 says, Jake, can we have a new chat function /search or /psearch that searches the player base like the other player search does? That is an interesting idea, actually. Maybe that'll be a good impetus to get CD Moyer to take a look at the player search process, because that code is old as shit and undoubtedly twice as broken. All right, somebody sent in the thing, and I made a note of it during the last show. I would like to set up an RSS feed for the announcements. Catatonic Monkey says, regarding Legends of Zork, they acknowledge that it's in beta, so it's still at best like KOL after a year or two, not five. Okay, but I would still argue that KOL after a year or two was just... I'm not saying this as a gauge of quality. I'm saying purely in terms of, like, the number of things that you can do, the number of choices that you can make, the number of distinct actions you can perform in the context of a game. KOL after 1 year, KOL after 6 months, was 50 times the game that Legends of Zork is, just in terms of actual complexity of gameplay. So he says, also, their PvP system is, if nothing else, enough to redeem the entire game. Being able to get a tangible reward in the form of fame, as well as betting on your match, is nice. I would argue that fame is not a tangible reward. It is just another number that you're making bigger. As far as I can tell, there's nothing that you can do with it. Their PvP system, you know, I will give it to them. Their PvP system is no worse than KOL's. It's got, I feel like, exactly the same problem that makes KOL's PvP system awful, which is just that you click, and then it tells you a bunch of shit that happened, and there's nothing that you can do about it. So I tried a couple PvP fights, you know, and it was, like, exciting to win, and I got some money or whatever, but, like, no, sorry. You know, it's okay if you like it, but I think we pretty much it is not hubris to say that we compare very favorably to it. That sucks. I was looking forward to it. I was looking forward to a browser RPG with a real budget, and I'm just very disappointed. I think I'm gonna be done. Pardon me. Yeah. I'm gonna leave you in the soft and capable hands of Uncle Ampy. And talk to you Monday, kids.
The ship runs out of ocean and the vessel runs aground. Lands where we know the boat is found. Now there's nothing unexpected but the water giving out. Land's not a word we have to shout, but there's something beside the shoreline. Moving across the beachhead, coming up from the shipwreck, making as if to say, women and men. Women and men across the ocean, they now begin to pour out from the boat and up the shore.
stream of people gets wider, then it becomes a river. River becomes an ocean, carrying ships that bear women.